it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the season, as he's coming back and doing well so far from Tommy John surgery, Matt Wieters' Freudian slip. Adley Rutschman could be starting his rehab assignment. Might see him at the end of the year for whatever reason, other than he's a competitor. I don't know, because there's only a couple of weeks left. We'll get into the AL East report and more later in the show. There's a new team in first place in the AL West, a red-hot team at that. So stick around. But let's bring Nolan McGraw in. Quick draw, how are you feeling today? How was your weekend?
It was good. Feeling good today. Ravens handled their business. I think that's the best way to put that game yesterday. And while the final score looks very lopsided in favor of the Ravens, and you look at some of those stats for Lamar Jackson in particular, you said it earlier, how could you feel any sort of angst coming out of this game? But for those of us that watched every single snap, well, the score doesn't tell the full story. The stats didn't even tell the full story. And I can't rag too hard on this offense, but situationally, I was very concerned. And the biggest moment of concern for me was after that, what we thought was a deep bomb touchdown to
Hopkins.
Thank you very much. Gets called back or stopped just short of the goal line. All right, no big deal. It's the Ravens offense. They'll just punch it in, probably just one more play. Well, one play? No. Two plays? All right, what are we doing here? Three plays? No. Are you kidding me? We're settling for a field goal inside the five and to not even run it. No run attempt with Derrick Henry. Not having the best game, but still to get completely ignored in that situation, it's really unheard of after everything he's done in the past year plus.
Yeah. How does he not touch the ball at least once? He would have been the first guy.
He's the first, first down play.
Nobody cares what I think, but
go from
first
there.
Play, Derek, let's see what we can do here. Then we'll get creative if they stone you.
Isn't that where they had the two drops in the end zone? Was that the one where Payton
there's a penalty
and Andrews? Was that the same? Was that
passing
that series?
Passing complete to Payton, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
that's when he dropped it out of his
start,
right arm.
Yeah.
And then Andrews had the touchdown and then dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, that's a good point with Andrews. It should have been. They were in there. It's a half second away from
that. Well, Delpit made a play.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
They tried. But to the point, why isn't 22 at least getting an opportunity to crack the goal line here?
I'm guessing that probably because they hadn't pissed a drop running yet, you know.
And then Payton, he had to pass first, then he had the
false start, yeah,
and that kind of
and then the sack wasn't it
haywire from
well,
there.
I think that would be what's concerning to me, the fact that you were, because he wasn't running well so early in the game, you weren't getting anything going with Derrick Henry or the run game in general, that this is another sign of them just saying, all right, well, we're gonna abandon it. Now, when you pass the ball that well yesterday, it's hard to argue against it, and I'm sure that had a lot to do with it, but this has been a thing for them in the playoffs in the past, and a source of fan angst, if you will, that if things aren't going well early in terms of the run game, or you find yourselves behind, well, all of a sudden it's goodbye run game, and now it's just pass, pass, pass. So, very briefly there, I saw a bit of a warning sign, I guess, if you will, that the Ravens were willing to just abandon the run game.
To your point about the game and not sitting there watching it with great confidence. And I was doing a lot of cussing at the television.
No.
There was a lot of yelling. It was like, what are we doing? And that particular drive comes to mind. And the Ravens were 3-for-12 with in third down efficiency. I'm guessing that had a lot to do with a lot of end longs.
Yeah. Well, no doubt, Bob. The totally third and long. Yeah, because they were... First half, Bob, they were 2-for-8. 2-for-8 in the first half. So what were they?
1-for-4.
1-for-4. Yeah, they were not good on third down. And like you said, they were having a hard time making plays on first down. That was the biggest issue, was first down.
And I know the TV broadcast had a little fun with it. You know, the Ravens find themselves up there, what, 17 to start the fourth quarter after they got that touchdown. And it's natural. The talking points come in. Well, here we go. Double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. Can they hold on? You know, saying it almost tongue-in-cheek at that point, but not for one second watching that game did I have any concerns of a blown lead. Because
how about when Humphrey missed it and then they get the touchdown?
But
that was
20 to 10, and it's like, I'll give you the exact quote because I looked at my cousin Al, who was to my right. Keep letting these scrub teams hang around. And all of a sudden, but
I think
I wasn't really angst-ridden, but agitated for sure.
Because the touchdown came in that fashion, where it's off the tip, you know, Vinny's right. You're sitting there saying, oh, here we go again. This is the typical Ravens giving up a touchdown in that fashion. But I still didn't think that they were in danger of losing the game. The entire game to that point, the Ravens defense had had their way with the Browns O-line chasing Joe Flacco around. By that point, they had already generated one turnover with the interception. So I had no doubts there that, all right, they got their one touchdown, lock in from here.
Hey, did you see that one stat, which was pretty interesting on the TV, about the double-digit leads lost in the fourth quarter? All the names of the coaches that were on there? It was Andy Reid, Harbs, Schottenheimer, Belichick, and some other big-time coach.
Well, you can look at it a couple of different ways. One, you've blown a lot of fourth quarter leads because you're leading a lot in the fourth quarter, and you've coached for a long, long time.
Right. And all those guys met that.
And they've been around for a long time. But when they did patch that up there, to Nolan's point, too. Like, where were we going with this? Are we trying to paint a narrative of, like, watch the choke job come up? Because we did see a lot of, like, TJ Tampa had a big role in the second half of the game. So we saw some names that maybe you're not going to see in the first quarter against Detroit coming up here Monday, rather, at M&T.
What was interesting to me was, all right, what was different from week one to week two? Because, you know, we heard, you know, coaches talk that, hey, if guys aren't productive, they're not playing. Jair Alexander wasn't even active. Simpson didn't play hardly at all on defense. So those were the two main changes on defense. Offensively, you're not changing anything there. It was the same. But those were the two main changes on the defensive side.
And no David Ajabo either.
Well, he was inactive again.
Right.
Yeah.
Unfortunate for him, obviously.
Yeah. And Bob, I mean, I was disappointed in all the, you know, I mean, Tavius Robinson had that sack fumble, fine. Mike Green had the one where he was around the ankle.
Yeah, he got a QB hit in there.
Yeah, but I still was a little disappointed. I thought Van Noy was all.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Awesome. You know, because he was playing until he got the. But he was beating that right tackle for the Browns. He was wearing him out. He was going around him, through him. He was in the backfield all day.
Any concerns with the pass rush moving forward just because of the nature of that injury?
Yeah,
again,
I'm totally
concerned. Three sacks through two games. You're not going to have Van Noy. Clowney's not available anymore. So it's, you know, this is your group. Nobody's really coming to save you.
No, Ajabo's got to play. The guy who's got to get better is Mike Green. Mike Green's got to play faster is what he's got to do. He looks like he's still thinking a lot. He just doesn't turn it loose. And he's got the ability. And same with Oway. Oway's got to show up, too. You know, I mean,
at one tackle, one quarterback hits that line. Come on now.
Right. And when he makes a play, he's unblocked. That's when he's making his plays.
Where's Travis Jones' bust-out season?
Matabike's been good.
Yeah, two games in, so we're not going to push panic buttons at least. Yeah, I'm worried about the pass rush. I think it's a genuine concern. As Nolan pointed out, if you missed it, Jadeveon Clowney, according to Jerry Jones, going to sign with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
to add a little oomph to their defense. We'll come back here from Harbs and Lamar and the rest. Talk about the Ravens win news from the Nest. You want to get in? You can at 410-583-1057. Ravens 1-1. Detroit looming coming up on Monday night. Ravens 5.5-point favorites there. We'll count some early week money, hopefully with buy or sell. And then we'll go around the AFC North. A couple of games in the division. Cincinnati won the game, but they might have lost the war.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.